roll call by the chief clerk.
Roll call for Tuesday, January 27th. Anderson?
Here.
Bebout?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Dockstader?
Here.
Esquibel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Honeycutt?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Sessions? Townsend?
Here.
Vasey?
Here.
Von Flatern?
Here.
President Hines?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Crunkleton.
Heavenly Father, in sporting events like the Olympics, athletes aspire not to obtain the bronze or the silver, but the gold. Help us to do the same. Let us not settle for the bronze rule, to do unto others as they do unto us, or even the silver rule, to do unto others as they do unto us. But rather, help us to aspire to the golden rule, not as Wall Street defines it, the one with the most gold rules, but instead, as Jesus your Son has taught us, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Help us to follow this moral rule which you have inscribed upon our hearts. Let us rely upon the good judgment and the wisdom with which you have gifted us. May we accomplish much this day, both here in this chamber and in our committee rooms, so that when the day is done, we can look back on it with great satisfaction. We ask this in all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 26th, 2009, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the Day, Liz Green, M.D. from Cheyenne, and Ron Malm, M.D. from Cheyenne, and there is no nurse scheduled today. Thought of the Day, a bend in the road is not the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side, I move that the Senate vote for immediate reconsideration of Senate File 11, State Parks Ranger Authority.
I'll ask the reading clerk to call roll, please.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Martin? Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 9 noes.
Okay, the reconsideration vote has passed. Now we'll have the vote on Senate File 11. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon? Larson?
No.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern? President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Senate File 11, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the member elected to the Senate, Senate File 11 have passed the Senate. Senator Ross.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, today we have visiting us from Henderson Elementary School, the fifth grade class. Teacher is Terry Hubka. And by the way, that's the elementary school that I attended. So if you would please stand and represent. Welcome them to that.
Welcome to the Senate, and see if you study hard, you can get a desk down here on the floor. Introduction, reading, and references of bills. Senate File 131, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 131, sponsored by Senator Scott, Management Audit Study, Reading Skills, and Act Relating to Legislative Studies.
Senate File 131 have been referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Senate File 133, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 133, sponsored by Senator Geis, Pet Animal Care and Facilities Act, an act relating to domestic animals.
Senate File 133 have been referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. Senate File 135, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 135, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Risk Management, an act relating to environmental quality.
Senate File 135 have been referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 132, first reading of the bill.
Senate File Number 132, sponsored by Senator Scott, Board of Embalming Membership, and act relating to the Board of Embalming.
Senate File 132 have been referred to Committee Number 10, Labor. Reports from standing committees.
January the 27th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 117, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Cole, Chairman. January the 27th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 130, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Cole, Chairman. January the 27th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 90, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, Massey, Von Flatern, no, Senator Jennings, Senator Cole, Chairman. January the 26th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 1, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Flatern, Chairman. January the 27th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 62, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass, amended. I, Senators Cole, DeCarrier, Jennings, Massey, Von Flatern, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 32, second reading of the Senate file.
Brucellosis Surveillance Program 2.
Excuse me, that was Senate File 31.
Yes, Senate File 31.
Senator Geis.
There was a question asked yesterday in Committee of the Whole what it costs to spay a heifer. On the average, it's about $5 per head. And then the other question was, can a non-veterinarian spay heifers? And the answer is yes, but you got to have a vet to do the tagging and certify the work. So they have to work underneath a certified vet. They can't just go out and do it willy-nilly and stick a tag on them.
Senate File 31, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 47, second reading of the Senate file.
Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration.
Senate File 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 62, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File number 62, Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act.
Senate File 62, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 68, second reading of the Senate file.
Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
Senate File 68, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 75, second reading of the Senate file.
Economic Development Account.
Senate File 75, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 84, second reading of the Senate file.
Aggravated Assault Choking.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk read the amendment in, please?
Senate File 84, second reading amendment number 1, page 4, line 1.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, what we have present for you and would this time move amendment, second reading amendment number 1, and ask that we dispense with further reading. What we have before you with this amendment is the Wyoming Supreme Court has basically determined through some issues that a serious bodily injury does not include things that most of us would be quite aghast that it does not include. From the testimony that we've heard and the cases that are out there, it's absolutely astounding to me that choking and strangulation, while not to the point of the death, why not the point of death, would not be construed as serious bodily injury, oftentimes when coupled with otherwise fairly serious injuries. Nevertheless, what we have is a situation where people who are strangled and sometimes beaten to the point of unconsciousness are not being prosecuted under ag assault. What this amendment would do would simply be to pull that back and say you can't do that with impunity until July the 1st. This would just bring this, we would, as soon as this bill would pass all the requirements, it would become law, and we wouldn't have a phase-in period where you continue to choke and strangle people without suffering serious legal consequences. And so I would urge your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 84. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 84, second reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 1.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, I recall to the Senate the discussion we had in Committee of the Whole yesterday, and this what this amendment does is it goes into the Standing Committee amendment and removes the new language that gives you a new crime of attempting the aggravated assault. So it is really separate from the choking issue. The choking issue remains in the bill with this amendment. It's something I would fully support. But I think having an attempt clause with this particular crime where there is, I think, the risk of people involved in what ordinarily be considered a simple assault being charged with the attempt to do something more and faced with a felony and given a leverage to plea bargain without having a chance to defend themselves in court because the risks of the plea bargain, I think that's probably unwise. I think we would be best to leave the law in that respect the way the courts have it right today. So I would urge the adoption of this amendment and the removal of this really, I think, extraneous provision from this otherwise good bill.
Senator Hester.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think one of the things that we need to do here is look at 62502 and look at that little I section in its entirety and see what we're doing with that. In that section, you have 4 elements that have to be proven, Mr. Chairman. The causes or attempts to cause is only the first element. Then you have serious bodily injury as a second element. So serious bodily injury to another, and then as a third element, intentionally, knowingly, or recklessly is a third element, and then the fourth element is under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to value of human life. The prosecution, Mr. President, members of the Senate, is still charged with having to prove all 4 of those elements. And what we're doing, Mr. Chairman, is the causes or attempts to cause is with the Supreme Court rulings that we've had lately, that ones that we just, I was just handed on Friday, the Supreme Court is actually asking us for some help in this, in these kind of situations. And Mr. Chairman, or Mr. President, why would we want to continue to reward those who don't complete the job? When you have a causes serious bodily injury, or the attempts to cause serious bodily injury, if they don't get the job done, and they don't, if they're attempting to cause serious bodily injury, we're still rewarding them. And the Supreme Court cases are showing that out. Remember that the prosecution must still prove all four elements in this case to get a prosecution. So it's up to them to still have to prove that. I'm asking that you please consider resisting this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott, for your second time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, look at those other provisions there. They, the thing that's really provable here is the causing of the serious bodily injury, even though I think the experience with this bill does demonstrate that our courts need a little education on what that is. You could, that's something you can objectively prove. The others are much more matters of judgment until you get down to whether they knowingly attacked a pregnant woman. But the others are matters of judgment. And you can, I think, usually make a pretty good argument, may or may not be valid, that somebody that got into a fight and punched somebody else may have been trying to cause serious bodily injury. So all of a sudden, I think what you're doing by putting this attempt in is transforming a lot of what would be ordinary simple battery cases into this aggravated assault and making felons out of an awful lot of people. And I think that's stretching this bill, which has a very good and clear purpose. I think it's too much of a stretch. I think it should be a separate bill. And then I think it's probably a mistake to do, because I think you are opening us to this increasing escalation of more and more felonies in circumstances where they're not always appropriate. So I would urge us to pass the amendment.
The question is, so amendment number two to Senate file, second reading amendment number two to Senate file 84 pass. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment have failed. Senate file 84, having been read two separate times. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Mr. President, just before we leave that, and I apologize for being off the floor the other day, but when I look at these crimes, and the first analysis I do is I go say, what is it, does it engulf or encompass lawful routine activities? And when I look at the elements as it says, sets out today, and maybe the sponsors of the bill can tell me, why doesn't it include the activities of wrestling? Normal sport. I can tell you that I've got several, all my children, my boys were in wrestling. And what you do is you go out and intentionally try to break your opponent's nose. I don't think every one of my kids had broken noses. I'm serious. And what you break your nose, blood goes into your throat, and you get a quick pin. You go in and you choke out. If any of you have ever played judo, that's what you do. You practice holds that do exactly what's described here. And while I understand that it would not be appropriate to go out and do a wrestling move on somebody in a bar, in fact, in Laramie, we've had problems where wrestlers have gone in, pulled a couple wrestling moves, and created harm. But that's what you do. You intentionally cause substantially bodily harm on your opponent, and to interfere with his normal breathing and blood flow, that's what wrestling is. That's what you do. Have we just created that a crime? And maybe you can help me.
Senator Sessions.
Here goes UFC.
Mr. Chairman, not being a lawyer, but being a parent and a grandparent of wrestlers, and watching that for a long time. If you would even dare attempt to cause serious bodily injury, manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life, you probably would not even be allowed on the wrestling mat again. There are a set of rules that are followed. Yes, you put your arm around, but if you watch your referees, you get that arm around somebody's neck at certain positions, or and it's called immediately. That is not allowed. You don't do that in wrestling. There are specific moves that you use, and when they get up around the neck, it's called. I just, you know, you wouldn't allow this on a wrestling match. You wouldn't allow it on a football field. You wouldn't allow it anywhere. If it happens, it's wrong. And so I don't know how you can relate this to an where it says manifesting extreme indifference to the value of a human life. That is not what sports are all about. And if that was the intent, or was shown to be the intent, it would be stopped. So I don't know. I guess we have to make a decision. But I'll tell you, this is aimed at trying to bring some reason to when people are choked and hurt very badly, and they cannot really do what that prosecutor can't really do what needs to be done to protect the value of that person's life or future people's lives. So I would urge the passage of the bill.
Majority Floor Leader Anderson.
Mr. President, having been one that coached wrestling for 10 or 15 years, I can't even remember now, and one who's wrestled both at the high school and the collegiate level, I take a bit of offense to what's been said in regard to some of the objectives that a wrestler or a coach may have. Having coached all those years and coached a lot of really good wrestlers and knowing a lot of good coaches, I would say what's been described by my good friend from Albany County is completely contrary to any kind of ethics that I or any other wrestling coach has ever promoted with his team. And I understand, kids do get injured, but it's not anything that is ever taught or done intentionally. And, to say anything otherwise, I think it's a real affront to the coaches and to the wrestlers and to the whole sport. So I would hope that we just kind of keep our eye on the rabbit here.
Senate File 84, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 113, second reading of the Senate file.
Wyoming Health Insurance Pool.
Senate File 113, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 124, second reading of the Senate file.
Education Reserve Funding.
Senate File 124, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 125, second reading of the Senate file.
State Employee Compensation.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 125, second reading amendment number 1, page 5, line 15.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 125. And I guess I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm uncomfortable with the fact that in the a paragraph above, one little I, where it says current job descriptions, these shall describe job content including. And under that, on line 4 and 5, it says professional licenses, certifications, or registrations to assist in job evaluation and classification. And then we get down on two little I, and it says job evaluation and classification. And it says, this process shall formally assign positions to classifications and pay grades to determine, and on. Well, then we have struck out including requirements to possess professional licenses, certifications, or registrations. Why would we have it in the top part of it when and not in the bottom part on evaluation and classification? And I guess from my point of view is we have quite a few jobs, I don't know how many, in state government that they want professional licensing and certifications. They're required to have those in certain jobs in order to do their jobs. So why would we put it in one part under current job descriptions and allow that to happen and then take it out of job evaluation and classifications? And if this is an attempt to, the reason behind this, if this was an attempt to hold certain people down and say, to take incentive away from people who are willing to go beyond after they get an engineer's or a geologist license or any other kind of job, if there is a professional certification in their field, why would we stop them from doing that to make themselves a better person to do a better job? We didn't say in here master's degrees or doctor degrees in other fields. Those could be recognized, as far as I know. So I would hope we would put that part back in there, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd urge you to resist the amendment. Folks, when the folks at A&I and with the effort of this working group put these together, they were cleaning up the statutes. Now, remember, professional licenses, as you'll find in Romanette 1 on the top of page 5, so when you look at the current job descriptions, they shall describe the job content, including the nature and the level of the work performed, responsibilities, requirements to possess professional licenses. So that is part of the factors. And then you drop down to job evaluation and classifications. Because it was included in Romanette 1, it just wasn't necessary to restate it in Romanette 2. So I'd urge you to resist it and stay with the cleanup language that the working group came up with.
Further discussion on the amendment? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment failed. Senate File 125 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Considerations of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are that order of bills of consideration. We are at that order of business of considerations of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
Okay. You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senator Vasey.
Committee of the Whole come to order. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 72. Will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File 72, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. Corporations Act Amendments, an act relating to corporations.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Case?
Mr. Chairman, it is with Mr. Chairman, it's with extreme great pleasure that I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 72. The corporation, Corporations Act amendments. There is a standing committee, and we might read that in, and I'll move that at this time.
Will a reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate File 72, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move the Standing Committee Amendment, and just a little bit of preface here. This is a bill that's very important to your business community in Wyoming. It's a rewrite of the Corporations Act. It's a product of the Corporations Committee's interim work and much work during this session. There is a handout that I caused to be passed around, and it's has my name, and it says Summary of Senate File 72 Amendments to Wyoming Business Corporations Act. That'll probably be helpful, and that's a very good summary. And for the rest of the hard, heavy lifting on this bill, I will yield to the floor manager, Senator Scott. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, what I'm going to seek to do is explain both the bill and the Standing Committee Amendment because they are all tangled up together. Mr. Chairman, this is the revisions to our Corporation Act. As the Chairman of the Corporations Committee just alluded, our current Corporation Act dates from a major redo we did in 1989, and frankly, that redo has been enormously successful. Before it, we had an antiquated set of corporation laws that nobody wanted to use. What we did then was we went through the Model Corporation Act that's prepared by the American Bar Association, and basically adopted most of that with a number of special provisions, Mr. Chairman, that were designed to make Wyoming a very business-friendly place to incorporate. And my information is that we've been quite successful at that, and we have gone to being, I'm told, in about the number three spot as a state of incorporation. Competing for Nevada for number two. Delaware, of course, Mr. Chairman, is number one, and it's my judgment we won't be able to successfully compete with Delaware for the really major corporations in our lifetimes. They have a special advantage with a court system that has been developed to handle complex issues of corporate governance, and a bar that's very experienced with that. And that takes just time and a lot of time and effort to duplicate. Nobody else is going to. But be that as it may, we have brought in quite a bit of business to the state of Wyoming and to our legal community here with this Corporation Act. And what's happened is it has been very little amended since 1989, and it has gradually gotten out of date in some respects. Thinking in corporations have changed. New techniques have been developed. The Model Act was been revised most recently in, I believe it was 2007. If we're going to stay competitive, we need to come up to date, and that's what this bill is doing. During the interim, there was a working group, and frankly, it was made up of some of the best lawyers in the state who work in this field, who practice what's known as corporate law. And I can't say enough about how impressed I am with the quality of those individuals and the luster they're going to bring, Mr. Chairman, to the Wyoming Bar in the future. They're a sharp bunch. And they did very good work and were a great help to the interim committee and a great help to your standing committee as we went through it again. And I would want to compliment them, and I would want to compliment Linda Cook, in particular, of the LSO staff, who worked long and hard on this. And this is not a trivial undertaking as a bill drafting exercise. And she did a wonderful job. And I think it's, again, a testimony to the quality of staff we have at LSO. Mr. Chairman, having said that, this is a 102-page single-spaced bill, and you can't do anything that complicated without a few little glitches, and your standing committee spent a lot of time going through and looking at all those. And the result is the standing committee amendment. It does a number of things. There were a few places where the bill didn't quite fully comply to our drafting standards. We corrected those. We found a couple of instances. For example, there was a provision on page 25, I believe it was, and of the bill where we, and you can see it on the second page of the amendment, we deleted on page 24 lines 38 through 40 and page 25 lines 35 through 37 a provision related to an organic entity that can be created by filing the Secretary of State. We don't have such critters in Wyoming, so we deleted that out of the model language that was there, and the result was a page and a half of amendment changing numbers. So there's some of that in there. The Standing Committee Amendment does do several things of substance. On page 47, and there's a repeat on page 87 in the bill, there's a provision that requires unanimous consent for, I believe it's stockholders as opposed to directors' actions that are being done by written consent as opposed to holding a meeting. We thought that was unnecessarily burdensome to require it by unanimous consent, and just said whatever is the requisite number. Usually it will be a majority, but sometimes your articles will specify for specific actions it should be two-thirds. You are giving up the guarantee of an individual meeting, but it makes it a lot easier to handle some routine matters. We thought that was a business-friendly amendment, so we did that. Similar provision in the bill for directors, where we've again departed from the Model Act just to make it a little easier to do business. So that's there. There is a provision, and this was just a glitch from the interim. We have to change the fee schedule for what's called a continuation, which is a special way of transferring corporation from one state to another that preserves the corporation. That was a Wyoming unique feature. It was very valuable to certain corporations, and we charged a nice healthy fee and made a good profit at it. And what happened there is during the intervening time since we did that, the state of Delaware went and copied our law, and we're no longer in a position to charge a monopoly rent for that particular provision, and so we have to modify the fee to $50, and that's what we did. And that's in the standing, the repealers, necessary repealers are in the act, and the standing committee amendment catches that we needed to put the $50 fee in. And then a very important provision right at the end of the standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman, there's a section you can see there starting at the bottom of page 6 of the amendment. Bottom of page 6 is the $50 continuation fee. It's a section 4 starting on page 7 of the amendment, line 13. We're asking the LSO, once we go home, to go through and renumber this act to conform to the Model Act numbering section. And we're very close to that right now, But the interplay between the way we normally do things, if we omit a section of the Model Act, for instance, we normally would just move the numbering up. We're sometimes a section or two off in our numbering from the Model Act, and it would be a great convenience for the attorneys practicing in this area to be able to say, how does Wyoming compare to the Model Act? It's important. The Model Act has a very useful commentary on it. It's in a number of other states where you'd have case law. You can see, is the case law applicable? Do we say the same thing, essentially, or not? And we're asking, where it isn't feasible, and occasionally it isn't because of the way we do things, to follow the numbering that they provide a cross-reference either in the heading or the annotations. And this will make it a lot easier for attorneys both here and outside Wyoming to see what we've really done and understand what we've done, and therefore make it a lot easier for us to go out and attract business. So I would commend that to your attention, Mr. Chairman, as an important feature that's new in this Standing Committee Amendment. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, and then after we've dealt with that, I'll complete the explanation on the bill.
Question. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 72, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Standing Committee has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, we can either have an extensive explanation or a short explanation of this bill. I'm going to try the short version and see if that satisfies the Senate. I do commend the handout to your attention. I do commend it as more than just bedtime reading. It is a very well done and well thought out piece. A couple of key points on the bill. A lot of it, Mr. Chairman, is just the Model Act language has been changed. Sometimes it's a little more flowery. Sometimes it's just a little different. And where it didn't seem to make any substantive difference, the conclusion we came to was that it made sense to follow the Model Act language and be the same. That way there's no question, does the precedents elsewhere apply to what goes on in Wyoming? The lawyers can have confidence in what the sections mean. And that was generally what we did. And almost universally, we kept the special features of the 1989 law that make this a desirable place to incorporate. For example, our standard of conduct for corporate directors is different. And I'm going to try to explain it, and if I botch it, one of the other committee members or the attorneys helping explain. Under the Model Act, you have to act in the best interest of the corporation. In Wyoming, you have to act in the best interest or at least not opposed to the interest. You've got a neutral provision in there. And that makes it more difficult to hold a director liable. And that is an attractive feature of Wyoming law. We preserve that. We didn't change that. Some of the things that are important, I would commend to the attention of all you, particularly those of you who do serve on corporate boards of directors. On page 44, there is a section on the duty of directors. That's new Model Act language. It's pretty well accepted as to the duties. They're pretty understandable. We did change the Standing Committee Amendment. I should have mentioned it. One provision there saying that the directors have got the duty of dealing with the chief executive officer hiring and firing as opposed to all the senior officers. But basically, you've got a pretty standard, pretty good description of what a director's duties and obligations really are. I commend that section to you. There's an important set of sections that begins on page 7 and following, conflict of interest provisions for directors. These are very close in practice to what we've got right now, I'm told, but the Model Act expanded quite a bit, went into more detail. The attorneys felt that was important as gave clearer guidance. I could summarize that set of provisions, Mr. Chairman, as saying you have to watch out for a couple things. One is a conflict of interest where another corporation you're involved with is doing business with the corporation in which you're a director, or a family member is doing business with the corporation. Often those two, with small business in Wyoming, often those are conflicts you can't avoid. And then the third provision comes in that's very important. The basic rule is you have to be fair to all parties, including your corporation. And if you're fair, you don't have to worry about the conflict of interest provisions that much. But I do commend that to your attention. I don't think the concepts are new, but the detail is certainly new and a good deal more extensive. The dissenters' rights in the existing Corporation Act, dissenters' rights are essentially where you're a minority shareholder in a corporation and the corporation does something very fundamental. Sells most of its assets, merges into another corporation. The series of very fundamental changes, and sometimes these are used to squeeze out minority shareholders. And corporation law has historically protected the minority shareholders of what was known as dissenters' rights. You dissent, you vote against it, you indicate you're going to demand your rights, and you can get paid cash money, what your share of the corporation is worth. It's a fairly technical section. One should not attempt it without proper legal counsel, but it's an important protection for minority shareholders, particularly in the small business instance. So this is something that's important to our local businesses. The Model Act changed dissenters' rights to appraisal rights and went into a little more detail on exactly how you perfect those and how you collect them. They amount to the same thing. The terminology is different. We went with a different terminology. We went with some of the procedural improvements there, but the basics haven't changed, and they remain in effect. And there was a Wyoming court case, I think, that we had to take into account there too. I mentioned the change on the fees on the continuance because we don't have the monopoly anyway. There is a clarification in the bill, later in the bill, on how you go about collecting money from a dissolved corporation. We departed slightly from the Model Act there in giving the directors a little extra protection. Frankly, the Model Act attorneys got a little too flowery and put some things in that I don't think were intended to get around the protections directors have, but might have had that effect, and we simply took that piece out. Mr. Chairman, that's a very quick summary of the highlights in this. It is an update we need in order to stay competitive in this area and to stay modern, and I think it will be good for bringing business into Wyoming, and I think it will be good for existing Wyoming small businesses and future Wyoming small businesses. I stand for any questions.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the questions I have, and I've tried to find it in the bill, is closed corporations. And we've talked a lot about that before when we did the revision in the late 80s. And specifically the area I'm concerned about is the requirement of meetings and quorums, those kinds of things where, you know, I think before the law said if you didn't have a meeting every year that you were subject to being to dissolution if brought by a minority shareholder. And I just want to be sure that we're not changing those closed corporation laws that I think were pretty good laws.
Senator Scott.
Well, and, Mr. Chairman, I do say I agree with the good senator on those being good laws. Having sponsored that bill as well as the original Corporation Act, I'm prejudiced. We did not touch those at all. That is chapter 17 in our corporation law, 17-17-101 and following. It is not in any way substantively, or I don't think in any way at all, amended in this act. This is dealing with the standard business corporations. And this whole area is long enough and complicated enough that as we embark on the updates, we're doing the highest priority one first, which is the Basic Corporation Act. And then I suppose in later interims, the Corporations Committee may look at actually the Close Corporation supplement is the title on Chapter 17. So it is in not in any way changed in this act.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The second question is, if you have a Wyoming C Corp and you're looking at trying to do a public entity, a lot of times it's very difficult to have the quorum. Previous law required two-thirds vote to do any substantive things in the C Corp, and of course a lot of public corporations had the 50% majority rule. Did we deal in that area at all?
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, and I may ask the other members of the committee for a little help. Basically, other than the piece I mentioned where we made it easier to do it by written consent, which gives you an easier time getting things done sometimes, I think we did not do much of anything in that area. And most of those things, as I remember the basic corporation law, and talking not necessarily on what's changed here, if you have a two-thirds supermajority provision, it is probably contained in your own articles of incorporation because we give corporations great flexibility over such things. And you do, if you're going to change that, you have to have the necessary majority to change your articles in that respect. So if the problem's there when you move from just an ordinary Wyoming corporation to being a publicly held entity, they probably relate either to your own articles or to the federal laws that govern some of the publicly held corporations. I don't remember anything, and I could be wrong, and I ask any of the attorneys or any of the committee members if I am wrong. I don't remember anything on the existing corporate law that mandates that kind of supermajority for that sort of thing, but I'll admit to you that it's been 20 years since I brought the Corporation Act, and I don't remember everything.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think the good senator from Natrona County is absolutely correct. We didn't mess with quorum requirements, and except for in two areas, and that is in the case of written, where you have a meeting with written consent, and you actually don't have a meeting, but you get the written consent. The two cases are one in the case of shareholders, and the other is the case of directors. And we did allow for that to be less than unanimous. There's sort of a remedy that you have in both instances, especially in the case of shareholder or directors, you can call a meeting if to review the action. But in that case, the articles of incorporation would supersede what the law says. It says, unless otherwise provided in the articles, duh. So I don't believe that we've in any way affected the majorities required for things like going public or anything like that. Now, that all being said, we'll put that to the working group. I see some nodding in the heads right now, but we will run it by the working group and our staff attorney. But I'm quite confident that we have not messed in any way with that quorum needed to go public.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One last question. Under the existing Wyoming law, if you have a C Corp, you can make an election to go to an S Corp. And I want to be sure that we haven't messed with that because that's pretty important to a lot of people to be able to do.
Senator Scott.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and it is important. And being involved in a couple of S corporations, I've had a little practical experience with that. Those are basically federal tax law items. And as near as I can tell, although the actions that could get you in trouble with the feds are clearly authorized because people who are not wanting to be an S Corp need to do them sometimes, we haven't done anything here that would inhibit your ability to have an S-Corp and continue to have it and maintain that federal tax status. The kind of things that get you in trouble that I think is a limitation on the number of shareholders within S-Corporation. There's nothing here that says you have to have so many shareholders or anything there. You can't have subsidiary corporations generally in an S-Corp. You know, obviously, it's authorized. You can have them, but you don't have to, so there's nothing here that messes with that. I'm quite confident that nothing we've done will cause any difficulty with the federal tax election, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to be redundant, but I spent the summer on that committee, also working on this. And I would just like to compliment particularly the chairman and the attorneys and everybody who has worked on that. It's a massive piece of work. The attorneys volunteered their time. They did an excellent job, and the same with all the committee. And I just think they need to be congratulated for bringing this forward. It took hours and days and everything, and it's I think, a good piece of work, and I'd like to commend the bill, but I'd like to compliment both the chairman and members of the Corporations Committee for their work on this, in addition and especially the attorneys who volunteered their time.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 72, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The Senate File 72 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 101. Will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File Number 101, sponsored by Senator Hastert, Trona Utility Shot Fire Certification, an act relating to mining operations.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Senator, I got to read the committee report.
Oh, excuse me.
It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, which reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin. Senator Larson, Chairman.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with the do pass recommendation on Senate File 101 and that further reading of the bill be dispensed with. Mr. Chairman, there is a Committee of the Whole amendment.
No, it's...
Is there not?
It's a standing...
Is there a...
Excuse me.
It's a
standing committee amendment, and yeah. I ask that be read in.
Will the reading clerk read in standing committee amendment number one?
Senate File 101, standing committee amendment number one, page 3, line 9.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would further move the amendment, and to explain the bill, I would like to call on Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring Senate File 101 and ask for your favorable consideration. Senate File 101, the utility shot fire, it was asked to be brought forward collectively by the Trona mines in southwest Wyoming. The problem that they're facing, Mr. Chairman, is that none of the mines right now do what they do production blasting. They have moved away from that type of mining procedures in favor of longwall and other types of mining. So they're really not doing the shot fire and production shot fire in the mines right now. So the problem is coming in, Mr. Chairman, that we aren't able to, when we need to do utility shots in these mines, and utility shots are described as if you need to shoot an overcast, a corner, or a bin, then it's getting harder to meet the qualifications that are currently in the statutes by having the 2 years of working with a certified blaster. So, Mr. Chairman, this is specific to the Trona mines because the problem is unique to the Trona mines. We weren't looking to expand it beyond the Trona mines. You have other types of mining that still do blasting, And we were specific in using the language Trona simply because we needed to ensure that other types of mining didn't, are using the production blasting, don't fall under this. Mr. Chairman, other necessities for blasting, as I said, includes the overcast. And in the bill, Mr. Chairman, what we're doing here is just providing new language that enables the Trona mines to actually do this type of mining or to do this type of blasting. And, Mr. Chairman, basically on page 3, that is where we're changing a lot of the provisions. And it's important to note that we're not circumventing any safety. We're not it was felt that in testimony in the committee that we are actually making it a stronger, more safe type of process by requiring that they put in an outline, that they have to put in a plan of how they're going to do this type of utility shot fire. So each type of shot fire where they do a bin or do a overcast or a corner, they're going to have a written procedure, which isn't required today. And that has to be approved by the state mine inspector. And, Mr. Chairman, there's in the amendment from the committee of the standing committee that just simply adds the words training requirements on page 3, line 9, to ensure that the training requirements are reviewed by the mine inspector. Mr. Chairman, we have the support of all entities that work around the Trona mines, the inspectors, and all other entities that kind of oversee this type of mining. And, Mr. Chairman, it was discussed with the Attorney General's office that it was required to change the statute, and this isn't something that we could do in rules and regulations. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. We're just simply trying to put in requirements and actually a safer type of process to do utility shot blast simply because we don't have the availability of the production shot fire people and blasters anymore because we're not doing production mining at this time. And so I would first like to start by moving the amendment, the standing committee amendment, page 3, line 9, and just adding the words training requirements. And like I said, Mr. Chairman, that simply ensures that something that we thought that the mine inspector would be doing anyway, but just spells it out that we have that. So I'd like to move that amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Hearing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment, number 1 to Senate file 101, please say aye. Opposed, nay. The standing committee amendment is passed. Back on the bill. Are you ready for the question on the bill? All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate file 101, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate file 101 has passed the committee of the whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate file 60. Will the reading clerk please read the file?
Senate file number 60, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, National Guard Youth Challenge Program, and Act relating to the National Guard. It was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Fladern, Senator Von Fladern, Chairman.
Senator Von Fladern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that do so with a favorable recommendation on Senate File 60, National Guard Youth Challenge Program, and to explain this fine bill for us, I yield to Senator Dockstader.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, just a little bit of background on Senate File 60 and the National Guard Youth Challenge Program before we explain the bill. This was started in 93 as a 10-state program, and then it expanded to 27 states. Program helps alternative youth ages about 16 to 18, helps them get a high school diploma or something equivalent of that. These are the kids who have dropped out of the public school system. They get an opportunity to come back and get a degree through the National Guard Youth Challenge Program. They go 5.5 months out at Camp Guernsey, and then they're backed up by that with a 12-month mentor program. 06 legislation established the full-time positions and reporting requirements. At the time, there was an appropriation of $1.1 million from the School Foundation Program. That was sent to the Wyoming Military Department, where it was matched by federal funds. The initial program was based on 60-40, 60 federal, 40% state funding. Since 2005, the National Guard Youth Program has graduated 156 Wyoming students. In Wyoming, this was accomplished with a smaller staff. Most states have done much bigger. The average is 45 for their staff nationally. In Wyoming, they're doing it with 27 staff members. In 07, federal support was reduced. The Wyoming federal program went from roughly about $1.6 million to $346,000. They went to Washington for some help, got it back up to $706,000. Now, the military department is anticipating further federal funding cuts. And so what does Senate File 60 do for us? It's designed to authorize the Wyoming Military Department to expand the full amount of the state's appropriation for the Youth Challenge Program with or without the matching federal funds, but only after all of the federal funds have been expended or used. The bill does not appropriate any new funds. Let's go to the bill just briefly now for just a moment. Page 1, the Act codifies the National Guard Youth Challenge Program and designates control of the state funds. Section 19.9701 on pages 1 and 2 explains the program, how it offers diplomas and certification, opportunities for youth at risk, ages 16 through 18. The program will be administered by the Wyoming Military Department with the assistance from the Department of Education. Both will coordinate communications with Wyoming school districts. The Wyoming Military Department will promulgate the rules. Now, in just a moment, we'll be addressing the amendments regarding matching federal funds, the matching federal fund program, and then the amendment on, or excuse me, and we'll be working through the wording too on how it'll be coordinated with the Joint Military Affairs. We'll take care of those amendments in just a moment. But finally, in Section 19.9704, the sunset calls for June 19, 2012 for a sunset of the program. And Mr. Chairman, at this time, if it would be all right, I'd like to move the Standing Committee Amendment to Senate File 60.
Will the reading clerk read the Standing Committee Amendment?
Senate File 60, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 22.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, just briefly, these amendments, page 2, line 22, delete $1, insert 60 cents, page 3, line 17, after appropriations, insert Joint Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. And page 3, line after line 22, that's where we insert and take care of the subparagraphs and insert the wording number of youth remaining after the first 2 weeks of the challenge program, and then we move the subparagraphs down and renumber them accordingly. And I would ask for your favorable approval of the amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Von Flader's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 60, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Standing Committee Amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Dockstader.
Well, in conclusion, members of the Senate, the program is considered one of the best at-risk programs for youth. In Wyoming, 156 students have successfully completed and graduated from this program. 71% of these have gone on to complete their GEDs, and above that 71%, what I understand, many have returned to their high schools and completed their own high school diplomas. I had an opportunity to bring one of these youth onto a radio program I'm associated with at home, and I was anticipating about a 5-minute program, and I gave her almost 25 minutes because she was so good at what she talked about in the program and how she talked about the National Guard and just very conversational. And after we got done, we went into a commercial break, and I said, how do you do this? And she says, it's because of this National Guard youth program. It really has improved my life. And so I'd ask for your favorable consideration of the bill and stand for questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Schiffer.
And I think this is an outstanding program. But let's look at exactly what this bill does. This bill provides for a continuous appropriation. And in continuous appropriations, sometimes they're appropriate. But understand the economic times we're going into, it means that this will never get the scrutiny that every other single state program gets, both in your appropriations committee and on this floor. The money is continuously appropriated. The second point that this bill does, it gives the military department license to move funding in from anywhere else in their budget, as long as it's general fund, into this program without scrutiny. This is a great program. I support it wholeheartedly and voted for it. What worries me is, given the economic times, and look at what has happened to our so-called surplus in the last 3 months, and it isn't over yet, we all know that, it means that other programs will get scrutinized as revenue falls. This program, this bill, exempts it from the process of legislative scrutiny. We won't see it again till the year 2013. Again, I support the program. I think to circumvent the process is bad policy, and it is this legislature abdicating its duty to appropriate funds in the priority it sets.
Senator Ron Flader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good Senator from KC. You're absolutely correct in all your comments on the bill. And I had never thought about the fact that maybe they could reach in other state funds that were given to them and added into the program. I can tell you that they haven't expended exactly all the funds they have been given to this point, partially because the federal funding dropped, so they had more state funds than they were going to, that were appropriated to match the full federal level. Federal level dropped a little bit. They didn't spend as much. They also went from 45 staff planned in the budget to 23 members. With 23, they didn't need to expend all that money. So they're not expending what they have totally, or the total state funds that have been given to them. They don't expect to go above what they've already expended in the past. But with the federal funds dropping, this program has not had, it's just hitting year four. It has not had the number of students. The advertising, I will guarantee you, needs to be better to get that word out there to all these high schools and school counselors, anybody that deal with youth that are at risk, and tell them there is a program. We're hoping that improves. Last time there was 75 or 80 that began the program, which was a high number for them, and they graduated 45 or so of that. So they went up. They had a little spike when they got some advertising. Hope they'll improve that. But I do agree with the senator from KC that maybe in line 1 of page 3 on next reading, we could bring a little amendment that says the funds that are actually allocated to this program are the only funds they can use for this program. So with your indulgence, I will consider that for next reading.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Ron Flader's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a favorable recommendation that Senate File 60 pass, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate File 60 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 98. Will the reading clerk please read the Senate file?
Senate File number 98, sponsored by Senator Geis, fines for speeding trucks, an act relating to the regulation of traffic. It was referred to Committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Dockstader, Escobel, Geis, Landon, Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, Chairman.
Well, you've heard the reading of the bill. What's your pleasure, Senator Von Flatern?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When the Committee of the Whole rises to report, I ask that they do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 98, fines for speeding trucks, and explain this nice, fine little bill. I yield to Senator Geis.
Senator Geis, I can hardly see you for the flowers here, but Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment to Senate File 98 and have it read in.
Will the reading clerk read in the standing committee amendment?
Senate File 98, standing committee amendment number 1, page 1, line 17.
Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman, all we did there is deleted the little A there, so we're just talking about statute 31-5-301 and not the A, and I'd move that amendment.
Amendment's been moved. Discussion on the amendment. All in favor of Senator Van Flater's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate Files 98, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Standing committee has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Geis.
Mr. Chairman, all we're doing here is raising the fines from $100 to $300. You still can run right up close to 80 mile an hour, or right over, a little over 80 mile an hour before this will kick in. And you can run just a hair over 70 mile an hour on a two-lane road until this kicks in. But it does take in the superintendents, where they put a speed limit. There's never been a place where they could really enforce the speed limit in those sections. So this will take that in. So if you've got a GVW of 26,000 or heavier, why, you get caught for speeding, it's going to cost you $300 instead of $100. And a senator asked me if this takes in cars, and no. Well, if you got a big enough car, it weighs 26,000 GVW, yeah, it'll take it in. But other than that, it doesn't take in the cars, so you don't have to sweat if you're in your car. But that's all this bill does. So I'd ask the favorable vote on Senate File 98.
Senator Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering, in any committee discussions, that, as I recall, there was a bill a year or two ago that required those larger vehicles to go at the 65 miles an hour. Was there any discussion in the committee at all about re-invoking that, since it's now on a big portion of I-80 anyway, or did you just not talk about that?
Senator Geis?
Mr. Chairman? Yeah, this takes in that consideration now on I-80, because that's a superintendent imposed speed limit, and that'll be included in this bill.
Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Ron Flater's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation for Senate File 98, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Senate File 98 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 110. Will the reading clerk please read in the...
Senate File number 110, sponsored by Senator Bebout, Designated Real Estate Agents, an act relating to real estate licenses. It was referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Bebout, Cooper, Honeycutt, Larson, and Martin. Senator Larson, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Larson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 110. And, Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, and I ask that it be read in.
Reading clerk, please read in the standing committee.
Senate File 110, standing committee amendment number 1, page 5, line 17.
Chairman, I would move the standing committee amendment and request that no further reading of either the amendment or the bill be carried. And to explain this good piece of legislation, I'd like to call on Senator Bebout.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, this bill was brought to the Minerals Committee and discussed at some of our meetings relative to what the realtors perceive to be a problem and try to assist them in the way they do business in Wyoming. And we weren't able to deal with the committee, and so they came to me personally and asked if I would sponsor this bill, and I agreed to do that. What I thought I might do is give you a little bit of background as to why the bill is here and then go through the bill. You know, as all of you well know, you know, years ago, the realtors, the operator pretty much had an agreement with where they had a seller's agent. So I was selling my piece of property. I would go to a realtor. They would represent me, and we'd go out and sell it. And over time, that's evolved till, I think, in 1994 or 5, we had a bill that we passed that had a situation where we set up an intermediary. And the theory there was that if I went to a real estate brokerage business as a buyer, I could have an agent represent me. Or if I went there as a seller, I could have an agent represent me. And that in fact, that the agency was responsible for that. But if I was within the same agency, then they had to go to an intermediary to work the represent both sides of it. So in essence, I walked in and thinking I would have a buyer's agent, I might end up with an intermediary. So what the realtors have done, and the whole purpose of this bill is to give the public another option, another way of doing business, and also the realtors, and that's how we came up with designated real estate agents. And, Mr. Chairman, what this means now, if I walk into a realtor's office, I have several options of how I may be represented. Obviously, I could go with the existing law that this does not change, and that is I could ask that realtor if I wanted to have an agent represent me as a seller, including the entire agency, as a buyer, or if, in fact, both were there in that same agency, I would have an intermediary. If this legislation should pass, what would happen? I would have other options, and the other options would I could have a designated real estate agent. And if I have a designated real estate agent, that means that that agent within that business would be my representative, not the entire agency, and that I could also go in there and be represented as a customer. And I don't know how a lot of you are, but when you have a piece of property you're wanting to buy or sell, sometimes you just want to go into a realtor and say, I want to look at this piece of property. You don't want to sign an agreement to be the buyer, the seller, the intermediary, anything. You just want to have a customer relationship. So that's part of the bill. And that's sort of the reason that this bill is being brought, is to give, once again, the public and the realtors another tool in how they do business together. I will tell you that the real estate profession is not always together on how they want to regulate their profession, but I'm pretty sure, and a lot of you have heard from your realtors at home, that there's a lot of support from the realtor profession on this particular bill. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go through the bill. I'll try to do it fairly briefly, but it's not an easy thing to follow, and I'll try to do the best I can in explaining it to everybody. We're creating new statutes, 33, 28, 310, and 311, on pages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And ladies and gentlemen, or lady and gentlemen, I'm just going to say members of the Senate, this defines customer and brings customer into the realm of the realtor being able to provide this to the person. They can be a customer. And what we did is we took the same statutes that require of the intermediary requirements, and all of this is how they should conduct business if they have, in fact, a customer relationship. We talk about the licensee, and that would be the person that would be there representing them. And then on page 5, we get into relationships with the landlords and tenants, and there's some pretty definitive language saying that the licensee shall be deemed to be working with the landlord as an agent or intermediary pursuant to written agreement, but then as a tenant, as a customer. But if you go further into the bill on pages 6, we get into the definitions section. And what we've done, members of the Senate, is we've changed the broker, the word broker, and called the licensee. And if you look at page 7 of the bill, lines 15 and 16, we have a definition of licensee, 3328-102A9. And what that says, a licensee is a broker, assistant broker, or salesman. We also get into the definition of a customer. And that means a party to a real estate transaction who has established no intermediary or agency relationship with any licensee in that transaction. So I go in and I say, I just want to be represented as a customer. I haven't signed any agreement. They're going to work with me and provide whatever service I ask them to do. Of course, we define designated agent. And that's a licensee who is designated and written by a responsible broker. And we change the definition of responsible broker to serve as agent or intermediary for the seller or buyer in a real estate transaction. It's important that you recognize the responsible broker is the individual who has the license, is designated the broker who is responsible for the supervision of the activities of those licensees. And then starting on page 8, we get into changes where we talk about where we just change the word brokers to licensees. And we clarify the what the intermediary does on page 9. And then I think we get to page 10. That's really the meat of the bill. And that's where we talk about the designated broker. And if you look on under subsection H, starting on line 10 of page 10, it says, if the real estate brokerage firm has more than one licensee, the responsible broker and any licensee associated with or engaged by that responsible broker may be designated to work with the seller or the buyer as a designated agent. And that right there is the entire purpose of the bill, to allow that firm to be able to have designated agents. The next part of the bill gets into, for an in-house real estate transaction, it gives some language allowing the designated agent to who they should be and how they should do that. Now, the one part of the bill that creates a little concern to some, and I've spoken with them earlier today, and I want to be sure this body understands there is a change going on here. And on page 11, if you look at under J, the agency relationship established between the seller or buyer and a designated agent shall not extend to the responsible broker. So we're changing the agency relationship between the person representing you as a designated agent and the person that's responsible for that brokerage firm. So the situation could come up where you're not satisfied with your designated agent. So what can you do in terms of being harmed? Well, you can obviously sue. And there's language in here that protects you in terms of the fact that the responsible agent is responsible for the oversight of that designated agent. But we have changed the way the agency relationship exists between the responsible broker and the designated agent. If you go further into the bill on pages 12, we talk about the vicarious liability. That's important to include in the bill. That's been in language in other areas of our real estate law. It stays in there. And then as you go on to pages 13, where it's the engaged by the seller, there again we talk about vicarious liability and make sure that's in the law on page 14. And we get into agent engaged by buyer on page 15. There again, vicarious liability is taken care of on page 16. We talk about on page 17, it's a definition thing where we change, or not definition, but a change where we go from broker to licensee. And once again, on under that relationship disclosure, we change and talk about vicarious liability once again on page 19 to ensure that's in the law. And then, Mr. Chairman, the rest of it is pretty well the cleanup. I want to talk about the repealers. And on page 21, where Section 3 talks about the two repealers, that's where we're repealing the broker as an intermediary, because we've taken broker out and put a licensee in. Mr. Chairman, what the Standing Committee Amendment does is we need to have in the definition a buyer's agent. We forgot to do that, and that's the purpose of the first part of the Standing Committee Amendment, lines 1 through 9, and then line 11, page 8. We just, once again, we should take out brokers and put the word licensee in, and I would, unless there's any questions on the Standing Committee Amendment, I would call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Discussion on the amendment. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Larson's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 110, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Standing Committee Amendment is passed. Back on the bill, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've gone through this rather quickly. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions that you might have.
Questions for the Senator. Senator Burns wins by a nose.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just curious, what problem is this bill trying to solve?
Senator Bebout?
Mr. Chairman, what happens, as I understand it, if you go into a firm, a rather large firm, and you're the buyer and you have an agent that's representing you under current law, someone goes in and they're the seller within that particular agency, and they have an agent representing the sellers under the current law, they now are required to go to an intermediary. So then I, as a seller who thought I had an agent representing me, when I get down to trying to close the deal or at the point in time where the other side of the equation is represented within that firm, we have to have an intermediary come in, and it's created confusing to the clients that are trying to buy or sell real estate. So there again, it's another tool, and that's the way it's been explained to me, so that I don't have to get in that situation where thinking I'm dealing with one side of the provider or the other, all of a sudden I'm dealing with an intermediary.
Senator Dockstader?
The way I understand it then, to the sponsor, the only way out from this, from your designated agent, is to sue? Is that the only escape from the designated agent?
Senator Bebout?
Well, Mr. Chairman, people sue all the time for all kinds of reasons. No, I mean, I'm just telling, if you're harmed and you think you can't reconcile it in the normal matter of business where you try to work out a situation, you do have a recourse. And since we've changed the agency relationship, and there's some people in here a lot smarter than me that practice law that can get into that a little bit more, you still have a way to if you're harmed, to go back to the responsible broker. But what we have done is changed agency law that shows that the responsible broker has an agency relationship with that designated agent.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to the good sponsor, and I've tried to work through this thing, and for the life of me, I still don't understand it. And have worked with the representatives from the realtors on this thing, and I think I finally understand what they're attempting to do, but I will suggest to you that this is turning basic common law agency law on its head. And the restatement of law in terms of agency, it turns it on its head, and I'll try to explain my thoughts in that regard. But if you'll recall in the 90s when I was actually on the other side of the house, the realtors came to us, oh man, we got to have the intermediary law. We have to have an intermediary for these situations in which you have large brokerages and they want to do the transaction in-house. So we had a long fight over that. It passed, and that was going to be the solution, that these brokerages could go ahead and handle the matter in-house through an intermediary. Now that's not good enough. The intermediary thing supposedly is creating a problem. I'm not sure, I haven't had anybody complain to me that there's a problem, but apparently, anecdotally, I've heard through the Realtors Association that buyers and or sellers don't necessarily like that when they have to go and do it now as an intermediary situation. But here's the problem as I see it. If you go to page 10, I believe it is, 11, we talk about that the agency relationship establishes on lines 6 through 17, which is paragraph J. The agency relationship established between the seller or buyer and a designated agent shall not extend to the broker. So supposedly, as I understand this, the agency relationship is only between that particular licensee and the buyer or seller. But it doesn't move up the ladder. And it goes on to say, nor does it extend to any other licensee employed or engaged by the responsible broker who has not been so designated and shall not extend to the firm, the partnership, limited liability company, association, corporation, or other entity that employs such license. Now, that's the whole concept of agency. That's the whole concept upon if I'm a salesman or a licensee and I'm working for a particular company, I'm employed by that company, I am an agent of that company. And that's how you move up the line with regards to liability. Now, on page 12, paragraph N, then goes on to say, nothing in this section shall be construed to limit the responsible broker's responsibility to supervise the licensees within the with the broker or firm, or to shield the broker from vicarious liability. This is where it becomes incongruous to me. The only way you get vicarious liability is to continue to have that agency relationship. But we have taken that out on page 11 so that for the life of me, I can't understand. I'm not trying to kill the bill, but it sure just doesn't make sense to me. And if the reason that we're doing this is because they don't like the intermediary situation now that we had the big battle over in the 90s, you know, I'm just wondering whether or not what we're going to see next. What's the next thing that comes along? The real key to in any of this to me is that we have a lot of real estate agents out there. They're doing their job. Most of them have now gone with bigger firms. You don't see the smaller real estate agencies that you did before. So you see these big ones, and they have 60, 70 agents in it. But, you know, the reality is, though, is that if I'm going to sell my house, I'm probably going to want to go to one of these places because I know that they're big enough. I know that they got the backing. I know that they're financially responsible. And that if anything goes south in that deal, I have a recourse. I'm just not so certain here today. I mean, we do say that there still is vicarious liability, but we say that the agency relationship ends at that agent, that licensee. And that just, for the life of me, I cannot understand that. So maybe there's people that are smarter than I am that can explain this, but I've tried, and I just don't get it.
Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the sponsor. I asked what the problem was it was trying to solve that was trying to be solved by this bill. And if I misstate the answer, please tell me. But I thought the answer that I heard was that we brought in the intermediary to try and agent to try and cover the some of the situations that arise within an agency, and that that was confusing people. And so now we're bringing in the designated agent that now is confusing, I think, a few of us on the floor. And like the vice president, I was on the minerals committee when we went through that whole thing with the intermediary. And so I know the issue fairly well until this bill, and I'm at a loss too for the need for this. I still don't understand that.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The problem, actually, let's go way back. The problem was, there were those realtors without any of this who were involved, if you would, in dual representation. This is the way the whole problem started years ago. You want to sell a piece of property, he'd go find it for you, and he'd go contact somebody that wanted to sell the property, but who was he really representing? Was he representing you as the buyer, or was he representing the property he found as the guy who was trying to sell the property? So if you're the guy who you'd hired to find your piece of property, you assumed all the time that he was really representing you. On the other hand, he could very well have been representing the guy who was selling the property. Therefore, you have what I consider to be, and what was normally considered and where the problems started to come from, dual representation. And they could negotiate a price, and he'd go through, but he was working on both sides. And that's what started the problem. So over the years, and I, too, have seen this piece of legislation, and it resolved into where even within a firm, all of a sudden, you could think you had an agent representing you as a buyer or a seller, and all of a sudden, somebody else had a piece of property, and within a firm, you then had to appoint the intermediary. You thought you had an agent representing you, and all of a sudden, because it was in a firm, you had to go get the intermediary. People didn't like that. They thought they had got somebody, and here all of a sudden they were dealing with another one who had to be the designated, the intermediary. I don't know if this is the answer to all of the problems. I do know this. In the years that I've been involved in trying to do this, and we've had it, I think, in corporations, we've had it in minerals a couple of times, it's been worked on for a lot of years. But I do know this. There were always a divided real estate group out there, always. And most times, any bill that ever came to this floor, you would get, and that includes last year, you would get enormous amount of emails in favor of it, but you would get a tremendous number of emails against it, particularly from Laramie and Albany County. The real estate people have gone around and supposedly worked out those concerns. I don't know about your emails, but I've had like 40 to 50 of them. I've had one against it this time. Out of all of those, there was no testimony from anyone in the committee opposed to this bill of the real estate agents, from the real estate department, from all of those. Now, I can't tell you all of the ins and outs of it, but that's the genesis of the problem. And I guess I'm saying if all of the real estate agents throughout the state seem to agree, and I'm not saying there aren't still some opposed, but the overwhelming majority, check your emails, are in favor of it, I think we have finally come up with a solution to the problem. Now, the problem just generates on who the buyer and the seller wants to represent them and trying to get them together and keep it in a format that they think they are represented in the best interest of who the buyer and the seller are. The agent, I believe, still is responsible. I think it's transferred there. I'm not an attorney, and there may be some legal hang-ups that need to be changed relative to that. I think the liability part is still protected. I think we have clear definitions of who can represent who, and to avoid this dual representation, and even within firms. Because even though you have two different people representing you, if they're working within the same real estate firm, there can be chances of the representation not being as you would wish it to be. This purports to fix that. Can I tell you that it fixes absolutely everything and every concern out there? No, because we've been working on it for too long. And I suggest to you that it is the proposal that seems to be agreed upon by an overwhelming number of the realtors. I think it takes care of the liability concerns and also fixes the problems of the old dual representation business. So I would ask you to support the bill.
Question being called for. Are all those in favor of Senator Larson's motion to win the committee of the whole rise to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 110, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate File 110 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
Heard the motion. What is your pleasure?
Aye.
Whatever.
Messages from the House.
January the 27th, 2009. Messages from the House. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill number 51. Handicap motorcycle plates, ayes 59, noes 0, excused 1. House Bill number 106, firearm ownership, domestic violence offenses, ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House Bill 138, property tax refund program, ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill number 46, National Guard Medical Profession Retention Program, Ayes 57, noes 1, excused 1, conflict 1. January the 27th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 25, special license plate retention by spouses. Ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill number 155, higher education matching funds. Ayes 59, excused 1. And House Joint Resolution number 3, legislators terms of office. Ayes 60. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
January the 27, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 26, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 27, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 102, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman. January the 27th, 2009, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivision, to whom was referred Senate File 94, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Cooper, Hastert, Johnson, and Scott, Senator Case, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate recess until 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet at 30 minutes past the hour to take up Senate File 126, Hospital Bill Installment Payment Plans, House Bill 67, Engrossed, Tobacco Excise Tax, House Bill 102, Engrossed, Excise Tax Vendor Compensation, and, Mr. President, if time permits, House Bill 101, Engrossed, Excise Tax Manufacturing Exemption.
Mr. Vice President, Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. to consider the following bills. Senate File 103, Child Abuse and Neglect Amendments, House Bill 5, Interstate Compact for Supervision of Parolees, Repeal, and House Bill 137, Videotape Depositions, Minors.
Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 20 after 12 up in room S14, where we will take up House Bill 4, Game and Fish Immunocontraceptives, House Bill 23, Game and Fish Penalties, and House Bill 24, Game and Fish Violations/Penalties.
You've heard the motion that the Senate stand recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passed. Senate is recessed until 2 p.m.